It's Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott, and we read it right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. The sports analyst that covers it all brings it all every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Sometimes they go into overtime. You don't want to miss these two former college football athletes, the Who Dat and Niner Gang, Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Bang Bang Niner Gang.
It's Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott, and we read it right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. It is Wednesday, 7 p.m., so that means you are tuned in to Sports Talk with K-Walk alongside Mr. E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. This evening, ladies and gentlemen, we got a good lineup for you. We're going to talk the NFL. We're going to talk the playoffs. Last week of the playoff regular season, a lot of playoff implications in place. We've got to talk Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger as well. Going to dive into some college football playoffs. The national championship is next Monday. Definitely going to talk about that. My State Your Case segment and, of course, Mr. E. Scott's entertainment segment at the end of the show. With that being said, let's bring in Mr. Scott. How are you doing this evening, my brother?
Hey, man, like Cam News said, I'm back.
Indeed, brother.
After a one-week hiatus, I'm back. I got a chance to listen to the show with Jay and Brittany. Shout out to both Jay and Brittany for filling in for me last week. Hey, man, They did a little too good, so I had to hurry up and come back. I got replaced. I was like, how Brittany know all this stuff? I mean, I know Jay knew some stuff, but she speaks in depth with everything that she says. I'm like, oh, yeah, my spot in jeopardy. Let me get on back. But, yeah, I'm back, and I'm ready to get it in.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Happy New Year to you, brother, and all of our listeners as well. First show for the new year. So, yeah, definitely welcome back, man. And don't worry about your show being in jeopardy, man. As good as Brittany and JR, man. You know, you got job security here, brother, as far as I'm concerned.
I appreciate that, man. Really appreciate All right.
Let's dive right into it. Hey, man. First, you know, I always want to talk a little HBCU. We didn't have too much this past week, E, but something did come out where we had the Florida Gators linebacker. He decided he was in port. He went into the portal, and he decided to, you know, to go to Jackson State. So right now we're looking at another HBCU, you know, at Jackson State, not just an HBCU, but Jackson State. And Deion says, we got another one. Are we? And there's a lot. There's over, I believe, it's a couple thousand in the portal right now. How much do you expect to happen for, you know, for the HBCUs and those portals to for them to make a big part in a big noise with the portals for sure?
I mean, I think Coach Prime has set a trend, and a positive trend at that. I mean, he's getting the guys from the portal. He's getting, you know, 4- and 5-star recruits to come to HBCUs. And what that does is you may not necessarily go to Jackson State, but that shows, you know, hey, man, HBCUs might be where it is. I mean, and then I'm seeing schools getting big-name coaches like, you know, at Grambling, we got Hugh Jackson. Prairie View just got a guy. I can't remember his name, but I see Prairie View just signed a guy. Southern is looking at another guy. I mean, so this is all, in my opinion, all positive for HBCUs. Now, While we're on the HBCU topic, I read an article that Coach Prime, they were talking to him about. Coach Prime wants to do away with the money game, as we call them, at HBCUs, meaning where your guys go play like a D1 school, and, well, you know, they're pretty much going to lose the game, but the school gets a lot of money. Coach Prime is saying, hey, we need to do away with that. He was like, until we can get our guys up to the level to compete, to have the same facilities these guys have so they can have the same advantages that these guys have at these D1 schools, the money is not worth it. And I had never thought about it from that aspect before because, like, going to Grambling, we played 1-2 money games, as we call them, every year. I mean, the band pretty much thought it was just their chance to go and showcase their talents. But the band is not in any jeopardy out there on the field. The band is not getting, you know, beat up like the guys are. And Ghost Prime said, I mean, it's just not worth it to put these kids at risk against guys that have better facilities, better training than they do to get some money for the school. And right. when I looked at it from that aspect, I think Coach Prime is on to something. He's like, hey, let's just compete amongst each other until we can get up to that level, because he's thinking
there you go.
Think it's coming. And then, yeah, and like I said, I agree too. Now, I don't know the financial aspect and, you know, how dire straits the schools are in, because from your highest PWI all the way down to your lowest D2 college or whatever, football
right.
pays for a lot of stuff at a lot
Indeed.
Of schools. I mean, it pretty much, unless you got a high-profile basketball program, football pretty much pays for all the rest of the sports. That's
yeah.
from your badminton all the way down to your checkers
Facts.
Team. Football
Facts.
Football pays for all of that. And then, like, even, you know, some of the administrations at some of the schools, some of the staff, hey, man, this TV money, that schools are able to stretch that out a long way. And this is something, K-Walk, you've been preaching for months now since we've been doing this show a few years. We need our own HBCU network.
Yes, sir.
Which will
yes,
bring
sir.
In some of that TV money to us, and we don't have to go pay, you know, these D1 schools and get our kids all beat
Facts.
Up.
Yes, sir.
Because, you know, because, like, even if your budget, hey, a budget at a Grambling is not nearly the budget at an LSU. However,
mm-hmm.
you got to put things in perspective. It's just like me living paycheck to paycheck and a millionaire living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
We're still in the same boat, but we got, you know, very different lifestyles. So I say
mm-hmm.
that to say, even though a Grambling's budget may not be what an LSU budget is, football still pays for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what we need.
Indeed, man. And I can't, you know, the only thing I can do is echo what you said, man. I mean, that is great stuff. And just to go back a little bit, Prairie View signed Coach Leonard Bubba McDowell as their new head coach, replacing a big name there. So, yeah, so Leonard Bubba McDowell is the new head coach. They just announced that the other day. Eric Dooley's departure, that's who he replaced. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they're going to do it. Coach Prime has a lot of say in this, in my opinion. So I think a lot of these, not just the coaches and universities and colleges, you know, some of these, you know, presidents, and they're going to take notice of what Prime is saying, because of the fact of the matter is the big change that he made in such a small time. And, you know, and to have the number two the number two overall recruit, you know, go from Florida State to Jackson State. And now you got another Florida guy from University of Florida, you know, going into the portal and then ultimately going to Jackson State. So it's going to be interesting to see how much attention they're going to pay to Prime and how much they're going to heed his words as well. Look here, we got our good buddy, Mr. Sherrod, a.k.a. Show Jones, on the line right now. He's been holding for a minute. Show, you've been listening. Welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Show not running around with me at Ham playing soccer all over the world, in Hawaii, in Europe, in Australia, and all kind of stuff. He's gracing us with his presence. Hey, man, we much appreciate it, brother.
Indeed, man. Happy New Year to you, first and foremost, brother. How you doing this evening?
What's going on, fellas? And now we leave Friday. We just training right now. We leave Friday for Florida.
Okay, I got you.
All right. Good stuff. So, Show, you've been listening to us for like I said, for a minute or two, and we've been talking about the HBCUs and the transfer portals and Coach Prime as well. Give me your thoughts on everything that E said and what we're talking about at this time.
I mean, I was basically listening, you know, quietly and agreeing with E. Prime makes a great point where, you know, we've all played in those games that we're the sacrificial lamb, but it's a money game for a school, and we're putting our bodies on the line. He makes a great point about trying to level the playing field. So I'm all for that. with the HBCUs, it's probably going to take a minute, to level the playing field. They need some advertising dollars behind it. I mean, they can go out, you know, they can go out and try and get them for that TV money to start our own networks. I wholeheartedly agree with that, with exactly what he was saying.
And like, it seems like it's a marathon, not a sprint. And I just think we're trending in the correct direction. And I give 99.9% of the credit of that to Coach Prime. Because like I said, there's other guys in the media that have platforms that are HBCU alums, Stephen A. And Coach Prime has done more in 18 months to 2 years than these guys have done since they've had that platform. I mean, because a lot of people didn't know until recently that Stephen A. was an HBCU alum. Because once Coach Prime started doing what he did, then Stephen A., I think on Wednesdays or whatever day on First Take, he has an HBCU segment. Hey, man, but how long has Stephen A. been doing this? Now, I knew Stephen A. was HBCU alum because I'm HBCU alum and we tend to know each other. But I'm saying there's a whole other audience out there had no idea Stephen A. was an HBCU alum.
Yeah, for sure, man. And a lot of this in Coach Prime, you know, and you for the most part, E, you know, got me doing an HBCU segment to start our show. So we know that I'm not. If you don't know, I went to Temple University, which is a PWI. So yeah, so it's there's a lot of influence there, E, and I apologize for not implementing that before Coach Prime came out, but it goes back to what you stated. You know, Coach Prime is, he's influential right now. And he got me doing this, man, so as well. So I like to lead it off with, I know I didn't give you the heads up on the HBCU segment, in our pre-production meeting, if you will. But, I know sometimes I'm just going to, I don't really have to give you the heads up. I just bring you a topic and you can just go right off the top because you're so passionate about the HBCU, family and alum and things of that nature. So I knew it wasn't hard for me to come up with something and didn't have to inform you ahead of time like we mentioned earlier about Jay Morant. But
I was just sitting there at my lunch break today, and Perk, who I can't stand, was on TV saying, Ja Morant MVP. Now, me personally, I don't really get into basketball until after football season is over. So that's why I posed a question in our group. Hey, is there something I'm missing about this Ja Morant kid? I mean, I knew he was good, but MVP? And show quickly shut that down. And I'm like, hey, man, I had to let y'all know, hey, man, I ain't out here riding for him. I want to be able to talk about it. It came out, bring it up. Yeah, but show shut that down real quick. He was like, oh, hell no. He good, but he ain't MVP. I was like, okay, so if it come up, I can speak intelligently on it. Because I just couldn't take Perk word for it. Because Perk is the worst commentator I've ever seen. But I just couldn't take it. And Perk be having some takes that like, hey, man, Perk, what are you talking about? But, yeah, that's where that came from.
Exactly. And when Show said what he said about John, nothing that I could have said anything differently. I mean, I would have echoed the same thing, man. I mean, yeah, he's good. He's talented. MVP caliber? Nah. I'm with you on that one, Show. for sure.
I just figured if he was MVP caliber, I'd know more about him. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, when Perk said it, I'm like, hey, man, let me ask somebody who might know Perk, because I know you Perk me on some BS sometimes.
Yeah, man, it's just at that point where when you run out of stuff to talk about, or you're tired of talking about the same thing, you're tired of talking about the Lakers and what they're doing and Kyrie Irving and what he's doing and the Nets and things of that nature, you got to find some other topic to talk about some other food for thought, if you will. I mean, he's having a good season, don't get me wrong. I mean, he's having a really good season. But MVP talk, I don't think he's anywhere near that. I think we could find at least six or seven guys just off the top of my head that would be, you know, be considered for MVP before we get to him, for sure. But nothing, again, nothing to take away from him. He's a baller, like Show said in the thread. He's a baller, but MVP candidate, and I will shut that down immediately. But yeah, good stuff there. Yeah, just to stay on the real quick, just to end the HBCU topic there, man. I'm interested to see, you know, how many more guys that Coach Prime is going to be able to bring to Jackson State University, and see what type of moves that Coach Hugh Jackson can make at your alma mater, Grambling State, and then, you know, what Prairie View can do there, and what Coach Eddie George can do at Tennessee State as well. Season is about to end. We got one game left, and then we start to talk about the off season things. You know, we start getting into the draft talk, and then I think we're starting to see that portal. We talk about that portal, but we'll definitely dive into that because I want to ask you guys questions about the. You know what? Let's stay on this topic. You know what? Let's take a quick break. You know, since we're here and we transition to it, unintentionally, we're going to grab our first break. When we come back, I want to ask you guys about what is more attractive to head coaches right now in universities and college. Is it the portal? Is it JUCO transfers? Or is it the high school recruits as well? We'll definitely dive into that. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuning to Sports Talk with K-Walk alongside Mr. E. Scott, joined by our good buddy, Mr. Sherrod Jones, right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
You're inside Never Had It So Good Sports Radio with Princess Cooper, Tim Moore, David the Duck Riley, Jason Collins, Shoshana Cook, Brittany Jones, Travis McGee, Eric Scott, and Kevin Walker. We make it easy to talk sports.
Your skin isn't just skin. It's a beautiful reflection of every single thing you've been through in life. Which is why Dove Body Wash renews your skin's ceramides and strengthens it against dryness. For instantly softer, smoother skin, you can lovingly embrace. Renew the love for your skin with Dove Body Wash.
Never had it so good.
And we are back. And again, you are tuned into Sports Talk with K-Walk alongside Mr. E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We're joined by our good buddy, Mr. Sherrod, a.k.a. Show Jones, right here. Before the break, we were talking HBCU, Coach Prime, Jackson State. And I want to do a little transition. I want to stay on the topic, but we'll transition just a little bit here. E, I'll start with you on this one. And as I mentioned before the break, let's talk about the portal. We got about 2,000-3,000 in the portal right now. We're starting to see some of these guys jump into it. Most notable, we got Caleb Williams out of Oklahoma. He's in the portal right now. Didn't see that coming, but there nonetheless. But give me your thoughts, E. What's more attractive right now if you're a head coach, and especially a new head coach going to a new university or new college? You got the portal that you can take tickets from. You also got the JUCOs that's coming out as well. Also, you got, you know, those high school recruits that we talked about. You know, you got the top 300, you know, ESPN guys. What's more attractive to you? Where would you look first if you were a college coach, E?
I think it's a combination of all that you've said, but I still think right now with the portal being as new as it is, what's the portal, like 3 years old, maybe 3 to 4 years old? I would say JUCO, I would say number one is high school students, and number two will be JUCO. And the reason I say that, with the portal being as new as it is, I know Lane Kiffin came out and said the portal has caused free agency among college athletes, which is absolutely ridiculous for him to say because they're playing for free, but I digress. The reason I say the portal is not looked at as much as it may be in the upcoming years, K-Walk, each school only has X amount of scholarships.
Facts.
Now, if I've already given out all my scholarships, you know, who's the best player in college right now? Bryce Young. Bryce Johnson entered the portal if he wanted to, but if I ain't no scholarship for Bryce, Bryce, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, you know, yes, we'd love to have you over here, but can your parents talk up the tuition? Because, you know, we don't have any more scholarships. Now, I'm quite sure schools can get creative and make room for guys, but a guy's going to have to be really, you know, at the top of the food chain for them to do that. Because, you know, there are still rules to this. They're still, you know, they still got to do things a certain kind of way. And like I said, I can look at the portal all I want, but if I don't have a scholarship for a guy, that you know, puts a lot of stuff in jeopardy. So right now I'm thinking that high school will still be number one. JUCO guys, because they had already budgeted that, if you will, into the scholarship money. And like I said, with the portal being as new as it is, a lot of schools, I don't think they budgeted that in yet. Now, we could see a change in that in the future. But right now, yeah, I think that's the last rung, simply because of the scholarship situation.
Yeah, I mean, great points there. I can't argue with that. So what say you? Which route would you take?
It really depends on what I need. I've been talking to a lot of coaches. Granted, it's with soccer, not football and basketball. But a lot of the coaches I've talked to about the transfer portal have said that it really depends on what they need. Like, this one coach, they're looking for a defensive player. And they're counting on the portal to get that, because I guess they don't see any high school kid or JUCO transfer out there that's as good as this kid. That being said, to talk about one of E's points, they make room for who they want, E, and I know you know that. Like they will push another kid out to free up some money and to get that transfer portal kid in. But the majority, I would say, that coaches that I've talked to like a fresh kid out of high school, someone they can mold, because sometimes they're viewing the transfer portal as somebody else's problem. You know what I mean? Because the kid wants to leave that school for whatever reason it is. Maybe that kid didn't do their due diligence when they first came out of school and signed quickly. Maybe they're having issues with the coach at that school or their position coach, and they want to leave and go somewhere else. And some of the coaches that I've spoken to don't want that problem on their team. So I would say for me, it would be number one, high school, because I can kind of mold that kid, if you will, because coaches have egos too, you know. They think they can mold a kid. And JUCO transfers, I think JUCO transfers would be another problem spot. I think I would go high school, transfer portal, and JUCO if it was me.
You know what, Show? I have to agree with you there, man. I would go in that order as well. And as a former, JUCO guy, going from Lackawanna to Temple, man, I would have to say I would hate the portal right now if I'm a JUCO guy, you know, coming out, because you know that's just going to put you at the bottom of the pecking order, if you will, and you're sitting there waiting, because I know that when I was coming out, man, I was on that list of, you know, a Florida Gator. I wanted to be a Florida Gator, but bad as, you know, I don't know how bad it is. Yeah, I don't know how bad it is. So I wanted to be a Gator so bad, you know, they reached out and, you know, but, you know, they decided to go off, more of that Florida type, you know, deal, whatever, you know, something they're more familiar with, someone that had more experience, if you will. So I would definitely go high school, then portal, then JUCO. And I really hope it doesn't hurt the JUCO guys coming out too much, because if you look at it, there's a lot of guys that come up from JUCO and go to these big time schools and make a big time name for themselves. And not only that, they get drafted. You know, some may only play 1 year and get drafted. If you look at the two defensive guys from Penn State, who's from my former alma mater, Lackawanna, the safety and the linebacker there, one's highly touted. He should be the top three safeties taken this year. But, yeah, it's tough, man. This portal is making it really difficult, but at the same for some coaches, but it's making it really, attractive to some of these coaches as well, because you have to sit there and ask yourself, you know, do I want a young kid coming in? And we have to mold him, or do I want someone with experience, but you're not sure what you're going to get as far as a JUCO. And then you got that one guy in the portal saying to yourself, oh, well, he's played big time ball, but what is really his issue? Why is he want, well, like you stated, why does he want out? You know, why can't he stay, you know, with his commitment, things of that nature? So, yeah, I would definitely go that route. I would definitely go high school portal and then JUCO for sure, man, because you got some young talents and you still got some big time high school programs out there that still can breed these young kids for sure, man, for sure. So good stuff there, man. Hey, listen,
now,
let's stay
real quick,
go ahead, Freddie.
Real quick about the portal. On the flip side of that coin, what I think the portal does do that gives coaches a bit of an edge. It's kind of like what Show said a few minutes ago. So if I'm building a team and I'm looking at high school guys, I'm really looking at the best athlete. Because I can go in high school, get a guy, because more than likely if you're a standout in high school, you play on both sides of the ball. You played multiple positions. You may play quarterback or running back in high school, but then, you know, I'm going to move you to linebacker or whatever because of your athleticism. Whereas with the portal, it's like Shel said, you can look at the portal and be like, hey, man, we need a corner. So I can go in and get a guy who's an established corner, who's played D1 football at the cornerback level, or if I need a safety, if I need a linebacker. Not saying I can't move this guy position either, but he's
right.
Already established at the position I need. So I think it does give coaches a bit of, you know, a bit of more flexibility on it to draft what you draft for need, if you will. So I think the portal is definitely, you know, a good thing. It's just that If you're looking for an athlete, I think you go high school. If you're looking for a specific, you know, position player, and then I think most of that is going to be I think it would be hard to find a quarterback in the portal. And the reason I say that is if you're a big-time quarterback, you are a player at the school that you're at, unless it's a situation where, you know, like say Justin Fields when he was at Georgia, and then they said, nah, dog, we're going to go with this Fromm kid, you know, which was terrible. So then he goes up to Ohio State. I mean, you can find you a gym like that every now and then, but I think that's going to be more difficult to do with the transfer portal.
Yeah, for sure there. And one thing, you know, I read the other day, I think Princess now sent us something. Princess, who for our listeners is our producer, our CEO of Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. She's also a big-time Gator football fan, and she sent me out something that the other day, if not today, that the University of Florida, Bill Napier, the new head coach there, has hired, an NFL guy, an ex-NFL guy, to look more into JUCO guys and as far as JUCO talent, because if you're not familiar with University of Florida, they don't bring too many JUCO guys in there. And I said that earlier for a reason why I'm not a Florida Gator. They never really went with a JUCO guy, to be honest with you. So hats off to Napier and starting to get JUCO guys more in the mix, but still, I still stand with that order and where you look at. But yeah, I think when you look at the portal, I think the portal is more for those, you know, guys like a Nick Saban, the guys like a Kirby Smart, just to name those guys who are playing in the national championship, because I think they've already solidified their offense or their team. But like you stated, a guy may go down. You don't know if he's going to come back next year, whatever the case may be. So you start to look in the portal. So look, can we plug and play this guy in here? You know, we have a bunch of young guys, but I don't know if they're ready. This guy went here. You know, he's played big-time ball. He has that experience. So, I think, you know, you go there as you go to the portal if you're an established head coach. And I think if you're a new head coach coming there trying to make a name for yourself, that's when you go, you know, to, you know, the high school and perhaps the JUCO route first and foremost, to be honest with you. So you can, you know, build that rapport, things of that nature with the younger guys. So and you can go different ways with it. It all depends on, you know, like Show said earlier in this show, you know, it all depends on what you need, to be perfectly honest with you. So what we're going to do is we're going to grab our next break. When we come back, we're going to stay on the college football talk, and I got to get you guys' thoughts and opinions on the semifinals, the game between Cincinnati and Alabama, also Georgia and Michigan, and also get you guys' thoughts and opinions and then predictions on January 10th's national championship between the rematch between Alabama and Georgia. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned into Sports Talk with Kay Walk alongside Mr. E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
Yo, what's up, guys? This is Daquan J. Kelly, a.k.a. Jamel I. Reef, Master Killer of Wu-Tang and American Saga on Hulu. You're listening to Sports Talk with Kay Walk and E. Scott. They're taking a quick break, and they'll be right back.
Do you need tile installed in your home or business? Then John Robinson Tile, LLC, is the company for you. We have over 60 years of experience installing tile. We do bathrooms, kitchens, and so much more. Give us a call at 803-529-0092. Check out our website at www.johnrobinsontile2.com. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, too. Just search J. Rob Tile or John Robinson Tile. We're licensed and insured and Schluter certified. If you need tile installed, we are your company. We believe in laying hands on everything that we do. That's John Robinson Tile Installation Service for new and old homes. Renovation of kitchens and bathrooms, installs all types. That's John Robinson Tile, the number 2.com.
And we are back. And again, you are tuned into Sports Talk with Kay Walk alongside Mr. E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. This evening, we're joined by a good buddy, my former high school teammate, Sherrod Jones, a.k.a. Show. For the break, we were talking portal versus high school recruits versus JUCO players as well. So great stuff there, E. and Show, for sure. Want to stay on the college football talk and got to get you guys' thoughts and opinions. E, I'll start with you on this one. And just give me your thoughts and opinions. The first game was the Cotton Bowl between Alabama and Cincinnati. What did you think about that game? Did it go according to plan and as far as your predictions go? What say you?
Yes, it went according to definitely how I thought it was going to go. I mean, Cincinnati had made noise, you know, all year, but Cincinnati won a lot of close games to teams that are not Alabama. So I thought the stage was a little too big for them, and I felt Alabama was going to beat them, you know, like they did. You know, the game was fairly decent, though. I thought Alabama was going to just blow the doors off the thing. But, you know, they didn't. But you could tell from the opening kickoff, Alabama was the superior football team.
Yeah, for sure. Was there anything that surprised you, E, in that game? Did Alabama just show you something that they didn't normally show you, or did Cincinnati play better than you thought they would? And also, to make a third part question, based off of the outcome, do you think another team should have been in that fourth spot?
Cincinnati played better than I thought they would, and I don't want to say another team should have been in the fourth spot because I can't tell you who that team should have been.
Right.
Now, I do think, I know we're going to get to this in a few minutes, but I do think Ohio State would have gave Georgia a better game than Michigan did because I just don't think Michigan had the offense. But that game was better than I thought it would be, too. But, I mean, you couldn't turn a blind eye to Cincinnati, given, you know, hey, they were undefeated with everybody you put in front of them. And I remember back, we talked about this when the first committee rankings came out, and they put Cincinnati at number 6 in the very first rankings. And I said then, they're telling Cincinnati, you're not good enough to get in just based on your own merit. You need to win out and have somebody else lose. And that's exactly what happened. So given that you didn't put them in the top 4 to start with, you put them at 6, and, you know, they kept winning, and people at the top had to play each other and lost, slid in the 4th spot. So they were deserving of it. It's just that, you know, I just think the stage was too big for them.
Yeah, good stuff. So what say you? Make sure maybe you're on mute.
My bad. Yeah, I was on mute. The game went exactly how I thought it would go. I knew it would be, I'm not going to say tight because that's too strong of a word. I knew it would be, we'll say close, in the first half, just because, in my opinion, I thought Alabama was going to take some time to overpower Cincinnati, and that's exactly what happened. Cincinnati's offense, you know, was kind of anemic, only putting up 6 points. And that leads to a tired defense, and you just can't have that when you're playing a bigger, stronger, better coaching staff, if you will, in Alabama. So you're just not going to win that battle. So that game went like I thought it would go.
Yeah, I have to agree with both of you. It went pretty much it didn't go exactly as I thought it would be. I didn't think that Cincinnati would hang that well and look that good against an Alabama team. And I've been an anti-Cincinnati guy all season. And you know what? Even though they lost, you know, the first round of the semifinals, hats off to Cincinnati, man. They proved me wrong each and every week. And even though they lost, and I predicted them to Alabama to win that game, they still proved me wrong in the sense where I really thought they were just going to get me blown out the door from the jump. I mean, as soon as they, you know, tipped it off or kicked it off, they were going to be blown out. But they showed some grit, and Coach Fickell had those guys playing, man. Desmond Riddle as well, you know, showed outstanding grit, man. And they were deserving to be there, to be honest with you. But like you stated, like both of you stated, I just think the stage was just a little bit too big for them, but they were deserving to be there in the top four because they've proven that, like you stated, Ian, you made a great point there. Like, listen, we put you in the spotlight. Listen, you got to continue to win and hope, you know, teams in front of you lose. And it was that way each and every week. I believe they even had a couple teams, you know, leapfrog them, you know, at one point throughout the season. And that team, once they leapfrogged them, they still lost and still allowed Cincinnati to be there. But yeah, I agree with both of you there. Stage was just a little bit too big for Cincinnati. But E, let's go to the game that I thought there was going to be a little bit more competitive than it was. And I'm talking about, you know, obviously number 2 versus 3, Georgia versus Michigan. What say you about this game, and what did you take out of this game?
Well, that game, like I said, I didn't think Michigan would be able to generate enough offense. I mean, your boy Harbaugh has been in Michigan for 150 years, and this is the first time he beat Ohio State, and it catapulted him to the top four. I do think Ohio State would have put up a better match there, but not to take anything away from Michigan, I mean, they did all they could, but it just came down to they just didn't have enough firepower.
Yeah, good stuff. What say you about that game?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. They didn't have enough firepower. Georgia's defense showed up and played like they should have played against Alabama the first time, with a little caveat there, in my opinion, because Michigan did have some success throwing the ball. I still think that secondary is their defensive problem. So I hope they fix it before, you know, January 10th at, what, 7, 8 o'clock? I hope they fix that. I hope that D-line shows up as well again, along with Stetson Bennett, you know. Hope he makes the right reads. So that game went like I thought it was going to go. I really didn't think Michigan had the firepower, like the quote, he had the firepower to hang with Georgia.
Yeah, man. I was proven wrong on that one, man. I really thought that Michigan was going to have a chance to win that game, only because I thought they were going to have a ball control defense. I mean, a ball control offense and a solid defense. I don't want to say they're elite defense, but a solid defense. And with Coach Harbaugh, he likes any coach does, you know, wants to do is control the line of scrimmage. But I just think out of those two teams, you know, when you talk about those offensive line and the defensive line, of course you're going to talk about Georgia's defensive line first, but you rarely hear anything about their offensive line. I just thought that the way Harbaugh had those guys playing, establishing the run, playing solid defense, that they would be okay and they would stay in that game. And I really thought that Stetson Bennett was the X factor in that game. And I thought he would make some mistakes in that game, which will allow Michigan to stay in the game. But again, Stetson Bennett proved me wrong. And I, you know, he gets my game ball for, you know, for the, in the semifinals, because he showed me that, you know, he can step up in a big time game. Now we're going to see what happens January 10th, like you mentioned, Show. So with that being said, Show, I'll stay with you. Give me your thoughts and predictions on the national championship between Georgia and Alabama.
I mean, I think Stetson is he got to play in, you know, in the big game. He had some pretty good numbers in that game, and I think he's gonna he's a smart kid. I don't want to say he's not a dud. He's a smart kid, and I think he's gonna learn from his mistakes. And I don't think they're gonna put him in the same position play calling wise as they did the first time. So I think he has a better game January 10th. I'm still picking the Bulldogs. I've been saying this. My daughter has high school friends that are they're just staunch Alabama fans. So I've been having
uh-oh.
This debate a long time.
Uh-oh.
So I'm still picking Georgia to get revenge. In the champ, I think Kirby gets his first win against Darth Saban, and I think they win. I can't give you a score. I'm not Nostradamus, so I don't know the score, but I'm going with Georgia.
Yeah, I mean that's good stuff, man. And good luck to you, man, this week. And you going down to Florida with the with these girls, man, and you're predicting you're picking against their picks, their team. Is that what you said?
Yeah, some of them, you know, they're staunch Alabama fans, but you know, that's their problem, not mine.
All right. Sleep with one eye open, brother. That's all I'm going to say. Sleep with one eye open. But nonetheless, E, what say you about this game?
Now, this one for me, K-Walk, is really difficult because last year the Saints beat Tampa twice in the regular season, but lost to them in the playoffs. And I said going into that game, it's tough to beat a team three times in one season. Well, in college, the equivalent to that is beating the team twice in one season. Like Show said, I really think Kirby Smart is going to get Georgia up for this game. And the trouble of things I got to ask myself, can Bryce Young duplicate the performance he had last time? Because going into the game last time, I thought it was going to be Georgia all the way. I gave Bama no shot. I mean, because that front four of Georgia combined with them other three, so that front seven in total is some of the best I've ever seen. However, they got the boys up ready to play, and from the opening kickoff, it was all Bama. Now, you need another performance like that from Bryce Young, but now you lose number eight, Michi, however way you choose to pronounce it, he's gone. So there are still some weapons left for Alabama, but I don't think you're going to see the same performance from Georgia that you got the first time through. And the first time through, Georgia didn't necessarily play bad. Alabama just played better. But I think Kirby Smart is going to get those guys up. And I don't know if we're going to see a duplicate from Alabama with that being said. But now, with all that being said, if I'm Lee Corso, I'm pulling out my elephant head, roll tide. I'm Lee Corso now on the set of game day. Hey, roll tide. So, and you know, Bridget is a huge Tide fan. If I were to say Georgia, she'd probably start talking to me. So I'm not even sure she's listening right now. But, yeah, roll tide.
All right. Hey, man, that got to be tough for you, man. As an LSU guy, that's got to be tough to say, man. But as far as not the prediction, but that those other two words, which I refuse to say, bro, which I refuse to say as a Gator fan. But no, I agree with both. I mean, I agree with you, E, man. I think it will be. I think it's not going to be the same game that we saw, same type of game where Alabama just showed their dominance in that SEC championship. Show, I agree with you. I think Georgia is going to perform a lot better. And it's Alabama. It's going to be a tough one, man. It's going to be a tough one. But I got Alabama in the close one, man. It's just I'm just putting it all on the difference. When you go matchmaker, you go defensive line. You know, you sit there and you check the boxes. Defensive line, you give it to Georgia. Offensive line, you give it to Alabama. Receiving core, you give it to Alabama. And then, you know, special teams may want, I don't know, that could be a wash. You may want to check both boxes there. But when it comes down to the quarterback play, who do you give it to? You obviously give it to, you give it to Bryce Young. So with that being said, I'm going to take Alabama. I'm not going to predict the score like he said. I mean, like show said. But I think it's going to be a two-possession game. I think it's just going to come down to, you know, just them being a better team and making bigger plays at the right time. I think Nick Saban is going to have something up his sleeve for sure. Kirby Smart is going to have these guys come into play. Stetson Bennett, I don't think he's going to repeat his performance in that Michigan game. So with that being said, I'm taking Alabama by – I'm going to say by nine in this one, by nine. It's going to be a two-possession game for sure. What we're going to do here is grab our next break. E, you segued to it, man. You brought up the NFL, man. So we got to talk about the Saints. We got to talk about the 49ers. We got Saints fans. We got two 49er fans here.
Yeah.
Both of these teams need wins to get into the Saints need a little bit more than we do, but we'll dive into that. We'll dive into the playoff picture as well. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned to Sports Talk with K-Walk alongside Mr. E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
What's up, guys? This is Kenny B. Winning from Gobo. Go Black Owned on Facebook and Instagram. You are listening to Sports Talk with my dudes, Kay Walker, Eric Scott, and they'll be right back.
Does it appear the long arm of the law is working against you instead of for you? Whom do you call when the boys in blue are pursuing you? When the wrong person behind bars may end up being you? With over 40 years combined legal expertise, Anderson & Welch bring to bear a smart, sound, sensible defense of those caught in what may be the unrelenting grip of the legal system. Turn to Anderson & Welch first to get ahead of trouble, not fall into it, by calling 561-832-3386. That's 561-832-3386. That's Anderson & Welch Law Firm online at andersonandwelch.com.
Just gotta get some things off my chest. Tough times, I hope y'all holding up. We'll be alright, cause we always is. But I'm feeling like this.
How many mothers have to cry? How many brothers gotta die? How many more times? How many more times? How many more marches? How many more signs? How many more lives? How many more times? Take a look around. Can you see it now? Don't be colorblind. Cause when they're killing mine, they'll try to justify. Each and every time, playing in the park, taking you a jog, sitting on the couch in your own house. Never seen a matter what we do. You think we don't matter what we do. You got a problem cause the city on fire. But you're quiet when niggas die. Let the soul of all the body that we buried. You a god, now you no longer have to worry. So hard to sing these words out loud. All these beautiful, precious black lives lost in the name of senseless white pride. Tears falling from us. How many mothers have to cry? How many brothers gotta die? How many more times? How
And we are back. And again, you are tuning to Sports Talk with K-Walk alongside Mr. E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We are joined by our good buddy, Mr. Sherrod Jones, a.k.a. Show. For the break, we were giving our predictions on the national championship game. I want to talk some NFL before we dive into the playoffs. I know I mentioned that before the break. We got to talk Mr. A.B., Mr. Antonio Brown, and what took place on Sunday. I'll start with you on this. We've been heard different opinions, things of that nature. But for our listeners, we go through our thread and say what we have to say about this. But for our listeners, man, give us your thoughts and opinions on Antonio Brown, what took place, what you've heard, and ultimately what needs to be done with Antonio Brown, if anything.
Well, we'll start there. I mean, I think Antonio Brown is going to be out of football. I don't think he can come back from this. Now, when it first happened and I was watching, I was one of the ones persecuting AB. I didn't come to AB's defense or anything. I just thought he had showed his behind and that was too much. That, you know, I said, because I actually said, you know, he set black players back or black people as a whole back about 100 years with his antics. But as I look farther into it, what is being reported? Now, this didn't come from Shefty or anybody, but they're saying that Bruce Arians asked him to go back into the game, and he told Coach, "I can't, I'm hurt." And so Bruce Arians told him again, "I need you to go back into the game." And he's like, "Hey, I can't, I'm hurt." Now, AB had missed 2 days of practice leading up to this, so I don't even know why he was dressed. And that last time that they said Bruce Arians told him to go back into the game and he didn't, Bruce Arians told him, "Well, you need to get out the sideline. You're off the team." And then that's when we saw the aftermath of that.
Right.
Now, I'm not okaying the way he left the sideline, but yeah, Bruce Arians told him, "Hey, man, you off the team, get off the sideline." Then hey, he did what he was told to do.
Yeah.
And you know, who amongst of us, you know, if you get fired, you don't work there anymore. Who amongst us hadn't wanted to show up? I didn't say we did to the extent that we did it, but hey, he was out there living his best life. Now, they wanted to say, "Oh, it was about money, that Bruce Arians took him out of the game so he wouldn't get his bonus." Now, I was vehemently against that because I'm like, hey, if you hadn't missed the 3 games faking a vaccine card, then, you know, you would have got your bonus, but that didn't seem to be the case. But what I find odd about this, you can fake a vaccine card, which is a federal offense, and only you can spend it for 3 days. You refuse to go back in the game and take your pads off and throw your undershirt up in the stands along with your gloves, and that's the line. That's what Tampa Bay decides to cut them. You can fake vaccine cards, and that's okay. But when you show out on national TV, that's the line. I just find that to be a little, you know, suspect. But now, granted, whether or not Bruce Arians did what they said he did or not, Antonio Brown didn't have to react the way he did. And by reacting the way he did, I really think he has played his last down in the NFL because a team would have to be willing to sell their soul to sign him, you know, at this point. And, you know, they want to say it's CTA, it's mental defect. I'm not saying he doesn't have any of that, but I don't think this factored into it. This was just a situation where, hey, he got fired on the sideline, and he decided to show up. I mean, I think that's the case of what happened. I don't think it had anything to do with CTE or any type of mental defect. Hey, you fired me on the sideline. He was pissed, as well as he should have been. Now, again, I'm not justifying his behavior, but I just think that's what, you know, what happened. But I don't think he'll play again. I think it's over.
Yeah, great stuff, Dan. Great stuff. Show, what say you?
I mean, I agree with you. You know, I personally don't agree with how he left the field, but that being, you know, beside the point, if that story is true, if you're told that, you know, you're not going back in the game, then you need to get off the sideline, he did what he was told, like, you know. I don't think we'll ever know the real story because, you know, Bruce Arians has refused to speak on it, you know.
Yeah.
We got a cryptic side from AB, super gremlin, That's what he called himself. and owed the Kodak Black song. So, I just think he has played his last down in the NFL. I mean, supposedly today he's come out and said that he could help the Minnesota Vikings. I think the NFL, he's going to be, for lack of better terms, I think he's going to be blackballed. And I mean, I'm not going to say rightfully so. I'm just going to say, I just think it was a culmination of things, and he could have handled a lot of stuff better. But me, yeah. You, nor he were there when those things happened. So it's kind of, we can give our opinions all day, but only him, God, and the other person that was there know what went on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
yeah, exactly.
I do think it was pretty funny how he skipped off the field. So.
Yeah, if he was hurt, right? If he was hurt.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that I find most interesting, and you guys tell me how y'all feel about this, Tampa hasn't officially released him yet.
Right.
What's going on there? Because Bruce Arians said you're no longer a buck. And K-Walk, I think I sent you a message questioning that. Mm. Does Bruce Arians have that authority? Oh, I think not.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because there is a collective bargaining agreement, and there is a players' union. I mean, ultimately they can't get rid of him.
Right.
But I don't think you have to use no fire on this. And now Wednesday, we 3 days removed. Mm-hmm. Why have they not released him yet?
Well, you got to look at it this way. Go ahead, Sean. I'll let you start in and out, then I'll.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that, you know, because, you know, there are teams out there who are playing for, a playoff spot in the NFC. I'm not just talking about the AFC, but the NFC. And not only that, you know, they're playing, you know, some of these teams as well. Some of these teams as well are going to be in the playoffs that the Bucs may have to face in the first round, second round, or what have you. And, you know, and I just think they're not releasing them so don't give those guys an opportunity to pick him up. So, no, Bruce Arians, I don't think Bruce Arians has that authority to do that. You still have to go to your GM. And we're going to say, no, you know, even though you said you're off the team, I don't know if he said you're off the team, off the field, whatever the case may be, he doesn't have the right to do that. The authority to do that. He just said he was no longer a buck, as far as in my opinion, as far as being back on that field as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, I guess, as long as he's the head coach. That's how I took that. But I, in their right mind, I don't think you released that guy right now. I think you let him finish out his contract, you know, suspend him for the remainder of the season, and then you release him and then let him be, you know, someone else's player. I'm not going to call him a headache or a problem. I'm not going to, you know, label him as that, but let someone else have to, sign him and go through whatever they have to go through with him if that's the case. But yeah, I don't agree with the way he did it. I can see that, E, as far as if that was the case. The way he threw off his shoulder pads and his jersey, you could tell it was sounded like something, or he reacted to someone saying, you know, you're no longer off the team, get off the field, or whatever the case may be. And Mike Evans tried to de-escalate the situation, but AB was already in AB mode. You know, you can't put him in Antonio Brown mode. You know, that's a different guy. But AB mode was, you know, he told me to get off the field. I'm not trying to hear. He told me I'm no longer part of the team. So here we go. And then he did what he did. And then, I just think that's the reason why they didn't release him. I just don't think they want anyone to pick him up. Minnesota, I don't know why he said Minnesota. Minnesota's out of the playoffs. Maybe he's talking about next season, but that's for season to, that we have to come to look at. But sure, what were you going to say? You going to add something onto that?
Yeah, I agree. I just think that's the last, you know, FU, as you will, to Antonio Brown from Bruce Arians. And, you know, we all know Bruce Arians has talked to the GM, and GM's talked to Bruce Arians. I mean, whose side do you think the GM is on? It's certainly not AB's side. So I'm sure they've gotten together and like, no, we're not going to release him. And we're probably going to fine him or, you know, not pay him the rest of his money. Because there may be, I don't know if they have to pay him out if they release him. I don't know his contract. But
right.
Or if they take a cap hit, if they release him right now. So all those things, you know, go into it. So I just think they're waiting for the appropriate time to you know, cut the contract and move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree with that, man. I mean, I just think that you just don't put him in a situation where he can actually come back, you know, to hurt you, especially, you know, when the playoffs are about to start. So yeah, I think they'll just be, you know, just treat it as though it's a conduct detrimental to the team. You know, that's how you chalk it up, and you just suspend him a game, his paycheck, or what have you. As much as you can fine him, as long as you can suspend him for the remainder of the season, I think that they're going to do that. But I don't think they're going to release him and allow someone else to pick him up at this time. But, E, let me ask you this question. What say you about him the next day, or maybe the same night? Was it the same night or next day? I think it was the next day. He was actually courtside at the Brooklyn Nets game. What say you about that? It was just, you know, AB being AB again, or, you know, because I don't know. You know, he just seemed like, you know, what he did, man. I mean, that went viral. I mean, I don't know how many memes that I've seen regarding this. But, if, you know, if that was you and you took that route and, you know, let's just say, I know you wouldn't take that route, but let's just say, you know, you did something similar. Would you show your face immediately, you know, on national TV, front court against we're talking about the Brooklyn Nets, you know, who have KD, Kyrie, James Harden, and you're at courtside. What say you about that?
I'm going to tell you something, K-Walk, that a good friend of mine told me a long time ago. If you can rationale and make sense of what a crazy person does, that makes you
crazy. Right, there you go.
So that's my only answer I got, because I'm in AD mind, K-Walk. He didn't do anything wrong. In his mind, he didn't do anything wrong. I mean, he was totally the sideline, and that's what he did. So, hey, because you know damn well he wasn't going to be on the charter on the way home. Lane Kiffin had a better chance of getting on the charter than AD, and he got fired on the charter than AV did. So AV said, hey, man, I'm in New York. I ain't got to be at work tomorrow. I ain't got to be at practice. Oh, the Nets in town? Kyrie over there? Yeah, he's just crazy as me. I go there and see some basketball. I mean, I ain't got nothing to do tomorrow. I got plenty of money, so I'm good. And in my knowing AB, based on what we know of him through the media, he probably was laughing at the memes on social media. Mm-hmm. He probably was retweeting them, reposting them, making some of himself. But again, if you can rationale and make sense of what a crazy person does, you're just as crazy as them.
My bad, bro. I didn't mean to ask you to rationalize that. I apologize. But sure, what say you about, you know, about that? And I'm not asking you to rationalize that. But what say you about when you saw AB at courtside in the next game?
Oh man. I just thought, you know, he to quote the great ghetto poet, Smoke Dog, it's not Friday, it's Monday. I ain't got no job. I'm going to the next game. Hey, I mean, he was like, hey, I don't got nothing to do. I don't got to catch a charter. I'm chilling in the Big Apple. Like he said, I got plenty of money. I don't think I did anything wrong. I'm going to go catch me this game out here and go talk to some of my boys. Because apparently it was said that he had Saquon Barkley's driver or something like that driving him around or something like that. It was one of the stories out there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I just think he was like, all right, you know, I'm unemployed right now. Or I won't say unemployed. I'm on hiatus right now.
Mm-hmm.
So catch a ball game. So, like you said, he ain't do nothing wrong.
Yeah, man. I mean, I have to agree with you both. And I love the fact that you guys we didn't bring up, you know, his past antics. And we're not going to do that at all. But I'm just glad that we didn't go there and say, you know, he did this. Remember, he did this or he did this. It was just, you know, I think it was a heated moment. I don't think he's that guy, like he said. I don't think I think that was just a moment. of a wide receiver, not just AB. Forget about AB. I think that any football player, especially a high profile player like that, you know, you have an ego. You know, we all have egos. So, you know, when you play in a professional sport, if someone tells you to get off the field, you're no longer on the team. You know, you can walk up to them and to their face. You could do what AB did. You can just go gracefully bow out and just fake a limp to the locker room. But you know, he chose to take that route. That's a wide receiver move. I'm not too mad at it. I wouldn't have done it myself, but if that's the case, if that's what exactly took place, I'm going to say, you know what, I'm not too mad at him. You know, I would have handled it a different way. Taking off the uniform and throwing it and did what he did. And, you know, if he did it at Tampa Bay, I would have probably, liked it a little bit more, because he was saying goodbye to the Jets fans like he was part of a team, you know, part of that organization. But nonetheless, man, I'm not going to put it out there, CTE. I mean, I know that, you know, I mentioned that at one time, maybe it's CTE, but the more you start to hear about the situation, you know, and see exactly what took place, the more you start to dissect and you look at his antics and see if they were justified. I don't know if you can justify it too much, but nonetheless, I understand. I'm not saying, you know, like Chris Rock said about, you know, O.J. Simpson, I'm not saying he did it, but I understand. You know what I mean? I'm not saying I justify it, but I understand. I get it, you know, in that aspect. But nonetheless, man, what we're going to do here is, man, we're going to take our next break. When we come back, man, we're going to dive right into the playoffs. And we got to, again, we're going to talk. I know I said that earlier, but we're going to dive into the playoffs. And we got to talk about the 49ers and the Saints. And both Saints fans and 49ers fans need to win the other team to lose. Oh, wow, we're going to get into this. I got to hear this, man, from show and from E. Scott. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned to Sports Talk with K-Walk alongside Mr. E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
CampLineman.com is an opportunity for my big boys to come get some work. Let's put it all together. We built from the ground up. You know, our cliche is it all starts up front. Once again, start, stance, hand placement, hand separation, get-offs, counter moves, a little bit of everything. Polish up those skills before your middle school or high school season began. Just come work on your craft. Once again, CampLineman.com.
I got my peaches out in Georgia, oh yeah shit. I get my weed from California, that's that shit. I took my chick up to the north, yeah, badass bitch. I get my light right from the source, yeah, that's it. And I see you, oh, the way I breathe you in. It's the texture of your skin. I wanna wrap my arms around you, baby, never let you go, oh. And I see you, there's nothing like your touch. It's the way you lift me up.
Welcome to Atlanta Sightseeing. Please take your seat and keep your hands and feet inside the railing at all times.
Ma'am, in this brochure it says this tour is crunk. What does that mean?
Yeah. Welcome to Atlanta, hammers and bows, back to the mackin' and the clothes, adolescent packing a knock on the door. Who is
Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
And we are back, and again, you are tuned to Sports Talk with K-Walk alongside Mr. E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We're joined by our good buddy, Mr. Show, Mr. Sherrod Jones. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Mr. Special K, I see that you're holding right now. We'll bring you in a moment. But E, that commercial break was pretty much for my 49er fans and for the Saints fans as well. Got some teachers out in Georgia. Guy, welcome back to Atlanta, because we need the Falcons to win this week. So we're talking about the NFL playoffs, man, and we're going to dive into the NFC playoff picture. Only two teams right now. There's one team left to get into the NFC playoffs. They're in the hunt. We got the New Orleans Saints who traveled. They traveled to Atlanta. And then we got the San Francisco 49ers traveling to L.A., SoFi Field there. Now, 49ers win, they're in. E, I'm going to start with you on this one. And if the Saints win and the 49ers lose, the Saints are in. So, you know, I was, you know, channeling my inner Atlanta, my inner Georgia right there, you know, on that sports break right there. I mean, on that break right there. But give me your thoughts on this, E. How do you see this playing out? Not how you hope you play it out. We already know how you hope it to play out. But how do you actually see this playing out?
Hey, what did I tell you in show on Monday? We're two dogs in a cage, and there's only one bowl of food. Hey, every one of us go eat. And that's gonna be the Who That Nation. I mean, y'all going up to L.A. with Trey Lance. You know, he's still wet behind the ears, still similar. And we going into the ATL with Taysom, the Dragon Hill. I just made that up. I'm going on the fly. So, but realistically, the Saints, we need too much to happen. First of all, we got to beat Atlanta. I'm not really sure we can do that with Taysom Hill. I know damn well we can't do it with Ian Book or Trevor Siemian. Ian Book may be the worst quarterback I've ever seen. I don't even see the potential there. They should just cut him, and hopefully he's good at something else in life, and he can make a living that way. Because football ain't it. I mean, like, you know, you see guys have a bad game, but the potential is still there. No. No, football ain't for you. That's not your calling. Go do something else. Trevor Siemian is a hefty trash bag. He is god-awful. Taysom Hill loves to throw it to the other team. I mean, we used to make fun of Jameis for throwing it to the other team. Taysom Hill had more interceptions in one game than Jameis had in six. In six games, Jameis only had three interceptions. I saw Taysom Hill throw it to the other team seven times in one game. Four of them they picked off. Three of them they dropped. So now, I don't know what's going on with Jimmy G and his thumb. He's still really handsome, no cap. But so yeah, he is. And y'all just put Trey Lance out there, set him up for failure. I didn't really see that game, but I was reading some of the comments. Trey Lance is like feast or famine. A lot of people like him. A lot of people don't. So as 49er fans, maybe y'all can shed some light. And can y'all beat the Rams with him? But I know we got to, first of all, like I said, first and foremost, we got to beat Atlanta. And then we still need help. So with the one bowl of food and the two dogs, they're like, y'all going to be the ones eating. And, you know, we're going to start there.
He picked us to win, Show. So that means that we're going to lose. But what say you, Show, about this and how this is going to play out? I mean, it's simple. We win. Meaning, I say we. I'm putting the fandom in it. Let me take the fandom out. 49ers win. They're in. 49ers lose, and the Saints lose. The 49ers are in. But how do you see this one playing out?
E, man, I thought we worked this out already. You weren't going to pick the 49ers, man. We were talking about this. But I mean, you did it anyway. But a few points. Jimmy G was throwing the Kittle today in practice, to my despair, because you know I'm not a Jimmy G guy. So they were throwing. I saw the video on, I think it was Bleacher Report.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're going to do with that. Whether they're going to play Lance or Jimmy G. Now, we have beaten the Rams already, but like you said, it's hard to beat a team, you know, again. So I know what I want to happen. And I think – let me go on the Atlanta game. I think that game – I've been to a couple of those games, and they're always fun, great atmosphere. I think that Atlanta is going to pull it out. Just because for the reasons you mentioned, that, you know, the Saints don't have a quarterback right now. So, for that matter, I'm gonna pick the Atlanta to win, and I'm gonna pick. Of course, I'm gonna go with the 49ers, but it's gonna be a tough one depending on who starts at quarterback for us.
Yeah, sure. That's going to be a tough one. I want to bring our good buddy, Mr. Special K, in, who's been holding for a minute. I appreciate you calling in, brother, and Happy New Year to you. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good, man. How's everybody?
Hey, what up, Ken?
Good.
What's happening? I missed the conversation I needed to be on for, but, you know.
We can double back.
I sent Kay a message early in the week, K-Wall, because, you know, he's a Tampa fan, and I wanted him to come on and discuss his boy A.B., but hopefully we'll have some time.
Hold on, my boy. Wait a minute.
Yeah. If he's on your team, he's your man's. Whose man's is this?
Okay.
Yeah, you got to raise your hand. Whose man's is this? So I wanted him to come on and discuss his man's.
This is what we're going to do, Special K. Since you come on, you know, you come on often, which we appreciate. So real quick, just give me your thoughts. Who makes the playoffs, 49ers or Saints? The 49ers, again, if you don't know the scenario, 49ers win, they're in. 49ers lose, and the Saints also lose. Their 49ers are in. What say you about that? And then jump on the AB talk.
It's funny how things change, man. Just 2 weeks ago, the 49ers, Saints, and I think the Eagles were in a three-way tie.
Yep.
And if they finished in that three-way tie, the 49ers are out. Now the 49ers in the driver's seat. Ain't that something? So the way I see this weekend playing out, honestly, I think it all depends on who plays for the Rams. You know, if they go out there full throttle, then San Francisco might be in trouble because, I mean, if I'm the Rams, I want some get back from about a month ago when they got slapped in the face with that running game, you know.
Let me cut you off. Especially, let me cut you off real quick. I'm just wanted to tell you this, and then you can finish it. Now, the Rams win, they win the NFC West. If the Rams lose and the Cardinals win, they win the NFC West. So just they are playing for something. So if that, you know, just to give you a little bit more info to as far as the outcome of that game. Go ahead.
My bad, K Walt. Then I don't see San Francisco getting in.
Who that?
I don't see them getting in. You know, Atlanta, New Orleans is a rivalry. You know what I mean? Like, even if there was no playoffs, they out there to punch each other in the mouth.
Right.
You know, and as bad as Taysom Hill is at quarterback, well, I ain't going to say he's bad. He's not a throwing quarterback. He's beat Atlanta before, though. You know, so
yeah.
I can see it happening again. I mean, the only thing they're missing is a pure passing quarterback for this particular matchup. So I can see them beating New Atlanta. And, E, help me out. Ain't that game in New Orleans?
No, we're in Atlanta.
It's in Atlanta.
It's in Atlanta?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're in Atlanta.
Okay. I give Atlanta a point and a half back on the point spread, but I still got the Saints. So I got the Saints marching in.
And I'm not mad at that.
In the first round, but.
I'm not mad at that, man, because I'm kind of feeling that, too. Hey, listen, get in there, man. That's all you can do. But I'm not mad at you, Special K, for that,
At least outfits keep their shirt on the sideline. They don't be out there acting a fool.
Hey man.
That being said, Special K, go ahead and take over with the AB talk.
So, all right. So like everybody else, Sunday, I'm this dude tripping, man. Get rid of him, blah 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 blah. But you know, as everything else, when you let the smoke clear a little bit, and some other things start coming out. You start finding out some other details, you know, like supposedly he really does have a bad bum ankle. Supposedly he went and got a second opinion, and they say that ankle is really, really tender. I can only respect what doctors say. Now, as far as his action Sunday, walking off the field like that, I still don't think there's place for that. But with him telling the coach not to go in the game, that he's not going in the game. Well, look, I mean, health is wealth. If he didn't feel good or if he didn't feel like he was able to go in and play or continue the game because, I mean, he had already been in, you know, five passes had already went his way. I think he had caught three at that point. I mean, you know, you don't act that way. You don't run off the field during the game. You know, I mean, and looking myself in the mirror, you gotta watch yourself, watch your reaction. You know, I'm one of those people that used to react immediately, you know what I'm saying, instead of at least thinking it out and, you know, making a rational decision versus an irrational decision such as he did. I'm pretty sure, like any other human being, if he could get it all over again, he probably wouldn't have did what he did. But, you know, him going off the field like that, that was wrong. But now that more stuff is coming out about this injury he supposedly has, I'm not mad at him for not going in the game. I'm still mad at him for creating that distraction, though, running off the field the way he did, you know. So, I mean, it's a two-sided story, you know what I mean? I mean, it's like anything else. You get one side, but there's always three sides.
Yeah.
Their side, your side, and the truth.
True.
You know what I mean? And health as well, you know what I mean? So, again, I'm not mad at him for not going in the game, knowing what has come out since Sunday. But running off the field like that, there's still no place for that. And I'm not mad at them cutting. I mean, if we find somewhere to keep him, I'm not mad at that either, because right now we need him with Chris Godwin being hurt.
Right.
But cutting him, I'm not mad at that either, because you're creating a distraction at the wrong time of the season.
Yeah, I mean, good stuff there, man. I mean, yeah, and let's stay on just the playoffs talk real quick. I got about a few minutes here. And with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're in, obviously, you know, right now they are at the number three seed. So if the playoffs were to end, they would – if the playoffs were to start, I should say, they would face, I think, either the Eagles or the 49ers, depending on the outcome of the depending on the outcome of this weekend. But how confident are you with the Bucs, knowing this happened with AB? You just mentioned Chris Godwin is out. How confident are you in them, you know, advancing in the first round, and how far – and if they do advance, or if you feel like they can advance, how far can they go in the playoffs?
Honestly, I think if we get out the first round, sky's the limit again. And a little birdie told me that we possibly might get another Super Bowl. So sky's the limit again, you know. Sky's the limit. Offense, I don't think is the problem, even with Godwin being out, even though he's our key. I don't think the offense is the problem because, I mean, I've seen Brady run a two tight end system or three tight end system. So I know it can be done, and we got the tight ends that do it. So that I'm not worried about. What I'm worried about really is the defense because, I mean, a lot of people, the fair weather fan doesn't realize that defense is not the same without JPP. You know,
no,
I don't think the average fan realizes that. Like, he's a difference maker. Even though he's not putting up the numbers, he's a difference maker on that line. I mean, and you could see it in the past game or go back and look at any game that he missed this year. He's a difference maker. As much as we want to put it on Vita Vea and the other rookie, number nine, you know, and Sue, I mean, they're playing good. But to me, JPP is the catalyst. He's the one that really makes it move. Even though he don't get the numbers, he's the one that usually breaks through first and causes havoc. As far as we can go,
We just lost K. I don't know if he's in a dead zone or what. But when he comes back, we'll let him finish his topic. But real quick, I want to just move over. I just want to give my thoughts and opinions on the 49ers. I wasn't able to do that. And the you know, actually he's back, Mr. K. I'm not sure what happened there, brother. But continue your thought.
Okay. Yeah. As far as we can go, I think the first round is going to be rocky, no matter who we play. Because, I mean, the way it sits right now, we're looking at facing a running team with, I mean, if it's San Francisco and Trey Lance, we got a mobile quarterback there. If it's Philadelphia, we already know what Jalen Hurts can do. And a mobile quarterback for Tampa is a problem. It has always been. Even throughout these past 3-4 years when we've been the top running defense in the league, we still have had problems with mobile quarterbacks. It's always been our problem. I mean, you can look at last year with Taylor Heineke. It gave us a problem.
Yeah.
You know? But as long as we get past first round, we're going back to the Super Bowl. You can book it. You can book it. I don't care. You got to go to Lambeau. You can book it. We get past first round, book it. Skip Bayless. We going to the Super Bowl.
And the only reason why I'm laughing there, because I could just see, for some reason or another, I could just see Eric Scott rolling his eyes right now. I don't know why.
K-Walk, as you saying that, they want to roll out of my head, and I'm saying to myself, this is the last time I had this N-word on the show. I ain't telling you no more. I ain't asking to come on the show. None of that. Because he done lost his ever-loving mind.
Wow.
That's my dog, but yeah.
Where I lost my mind at?
Come on, y'all go about the Super Bowl. You sound like a Cowboy fan.
Oh, nah, bro. If I was a Cowboy fan, I'd have been saying that when we was 8-3. I'd have been screaming to the rooftop.
No, you'd have been saying it since 1996.
Right.
Shout out to many of you out there listening. 1996.
Yeah.
So, Kay, realistically, you think y'all can be A-A-Ron them? Green Bay.
We did it last year.
Yeah, but A-Ron on a mission now.
He was on a mission last year.
Well, I mean, we beat you twice last year and twice this year. What did that get us? Trevor Simeon.
Not a thing. And my point
exactly. Exactly.
So, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, right? He can always beat us, but, I mean, the writing's on the wall. I mean, the last two matchups, we just slapped Aaron Rodgers in the mouth. You know what I mean?
Now, I will say this. Aaron does have trouble winning the NFC Championship game. That is true. So I guess we'll see how you on after this fiasco. I guess, you know. All right, man, my bad.
Next week we'll have the playoff picture will be laid out, and we'll know exactly who's playing who and when. So we'll definitely dive in. Yeah, Special K, if you can next week, come back on, God willing. So we definitely want to dive into that. I want to ask you guys real quick before we get into my State Your Case segment. You mentioned Special K, the Philadelphia Eagles. Show, I'm gonna start with you on this one. You're idle for a little bit, so I want to get you back in there real quick. Give me your thoughts on the Philadelphia Eagles, man. Jalen Hurts. There's a lot of naysayers right now, you know, saying Jalen Hurts are asking, is he the future of this franchise? Give me your thoughts on that question, and how far do you think he can take the Eagles, not just this season, but in the seasons to come?
I mean, I like Jalen Hurts, and I think if you put the right pieces around him, he could be the future in Philadelphia. But as you and me both know, being from that area, I don't think Philly will stick with him that long because, you know, they don't have a good track record with sticking with, dare I say, black quarterbacks. I mean, they just don't. They just don't. Philly is not known for sticking with those guys or even paying those guys, really. So, do I think he's a future? Yeah, he could be if they get the right pieces around him. I think he does a good job with what he's got now. And, he's still young. How long has he been in the league? What, three?
No, this is 30, I think it's third year.
Third year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... I mean, definitely. I mean, third-year quarterback, you just coming into your own, so to speak. So I definitely think that he can be the future. But that remains to be seen. What will the organization do?
Yeah, for sure, man. And you mentioned the black quarterback. I mean, we could talk about, you know, Randall Cunningham. He took him as far as he could possibly take him before he went to Minnesota. You know, you had Rodney Peete, and you had Donovan McNabb, and then you had Michael Vick, of course, as well. Donovan McNabb took him to a Super Bowl. A lot of people saying he choked in that game, figuratively and literally. They say he choked in that game. Jalen Hurts, if you put the right pieces around him, man, I just think that this sky's the limit for this kid. I mean, they have a decent tight end in Gogut. or Goddard, and they have the young kid, Devontae Smith, as well. They have a solid running game with Howard and Boston Scott. Also, that offensive line is coming into its own as well. The defense can use some pieces, but they're playing pretty complimentary football for the most part. And then, they obviously are in the playoffs this season, so we're going to see how that pans out. But, E, what say you real quick about the Eagles and Jalen Hurts as well?
Yeah, I think I don't think he's ready now, but I think they need to put some pieces around him. I like Goddard, but what's the boy name they sent over to Kansas City? Not Kansas City, over to Arizona.
Zach Ertz.
Yeah, I really think that's a piece that he could have kept, that you could have kept him along with Goddard. Like Kay mentioned earlier, run that two tight end set. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do see potential in Jalen Hurts. I think he has nothing but upside. I don't think they have enough right now to go, past the first round. But, yeah, I do think, in the future, I think they find them a franchise quarterback. And as we know, that's kind of hard to find. I mean, because if you look at it, Chase Daniel's still in the league. Arizona's still bringing Colt McCoy out there. I mean,
Mike Glennon from the Giants.
It's tough to find you a franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
So we're going to see. But I do see good things for your boy, Jalen, in the long term.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Ain't Taysom Hill a franchise quarterback?
Hey, man, let's keep it moving. damn well he ain't no franchise. Taysom Hill the same age as Tom Brady. Tom Brady got 7 Super Bowls with 10 trips. Taysom Hill can't even become the starter on the team. Hey, man, if it ain't happened after all this time, it's probably not going to happen. But that was hurtful.
And they just extended him again.
Yeah, I'm about to say he's on his third contract. He took the worst one out of my mouth. He's on his third contract.
Hey, man, don't get me started. That's what I'm saying.
So same thing can make us laugh. Show's going to make us cry. So hopefully, man, we can pull this one out on Sunday, bro. But, my state to case is here. We're going to backtrack just a little bit, man, before we get into it. Try to make it as brief because we want to get into to each segment, but my state your case is we got the college football, and we got these players that I'm start with you on this one, E. We got these players sitting out, sitting out some of these bowl games. Some of them, I know we kind of touched on this in the past, but just for this year, because we've seen Matt Corral, the young quarterback from Ole Miss, go down with the injury in that bowl game. A lot of people say he shouldn't have played. There's some guys that that didn't play that we felt like they should have played to improve their stock. But give me your thoughts on players sitting out for a college bowl game to prepare for the NFL. What's your thoughts on that? How you feel about that?
Now, it's situational, player by player. And what I mean by that is, okay, if you're a guy who's going to go to the draft, and you projected, if Todd McShay and Mel Kiper now put you on the big board and you're not one of the top four teams, like you're not playing in the semis or the finals, go ahead and sit your bowl game out because you got a future to look forward to. You don't want to get hurt. But now, if you are in the top four, you want to be there for your teammates. If you can win a national championship, I say you should go ahead and play. But, K-Walt, I remember years and years ago, there were 150, 200 bowls. They kind of slimmed that down over the past few years, but now it's coming back. Like, I think I heard the other day that the West Coast Credit Union Acapulco Bowl or something like that. Yeah, man, if you out here playing in that and you are a projected first or second round pick, you go ahead and skip that. Now, there are some cats out there who need this bowl game, who need the senior bowl, who need a pro day, who need the combine. Hell, you might not even be invited to the combine. So if you can improve your stock, then, go ahead out there and do that. But I really do think it's situational.
Yeah. I mean, great point there. I mean, great stuff. Show, what say you real quick?
I agree with E. I mean, like, the bowl game, like, there are 44 bowl games that go on you know, in this modern bowl day era, bowl game era.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't mean as much anymore to the player. And if I'm a top five prospect, I don't want to risk getting hurt. I can see both sides, but I'm erring on the side of the college athlete because they have
right.
to protect themselves. The coaches aren't going to do it. So I agree. I mean, if they think that they need to sit out and not play to protect their draft status, if they're projected to go round one, round two, I'm all for it. Now, like you said, there's the other side of that. If you are projected to go, what, Mr. Irrelevant, then I think you should play in the bowl game.
Right.
So that's my 2 cents.
For sure. Good stuff. Special K, what say you?
I'm kind of like E. If it's not improving your stock, if you've already projected a top, you know, I'm going to say top 10 pick, you know what I mean? I mean, it probably be best fitted for you to sit out. But, you know, me personally, I don't care if I was Mr. Irrelevant on number one. I don't think I could sit out.
Yeah,
I'm too much of a competitor.
Yes,
you know what I mean? I want to play. Like, even at my tender age now, I almost suited up last year. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm that guy. You know what I mean? Like, I want to play. You know what I mean? Pushing 50. I'm still trying to put cards on. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
To me, that says a lot about the competitor, you know. But, you know, who am I to judge? Because people are making business decisions. You know what I mean? I'm just saying,
yes, sir.
If it's me, my mindset, I'm playing.
Yeah.
However, you got the kid from Mississippi, Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, tonight. Yeah, Matt Corral, yeah.
He's a top quarterback. He's at least, what, top three, top four of the quarterbacks coming
yes.
in this draft?
Mm-hmm.
And he got hurt. You know, so there's that side
we'll
of
see,
it. Okay,
Kay, based on your mentality, hopefully that's why we got somebody that can talk you off the ledge. I mean, because most guys that are football players have the same mentality that you have. Oh,
yes.
I can watch that. I can play. But like you said, hopefully somebody say, no, dog, you know all these sacrifices I've made when I was driving you to practice, when I was missing work, and I picked
yeah.
you up early from school. Hey, you owe me, dog. So we finna make a business decision. Mel Kiper, Anton McShay know who you are. So you good. You ain't got to go out here in this ball game. Now, Mel Kiper and Tom McShay ain't never heard of you. You can play all the ball games you want to. It's going to be tight on you. I mean, you know. But yeah, hopefully, we got somebody in your corner that has made some sacrifices, and they're looking at you like, nah, you ain't playing this ball game. If I got to hide your cleats, you ain't going out there. We finna go get this money. That's what we finna do.
Hey, Kay, like, if it's any consolation, man, I'm going to be on the ledge with you, man, because I'm right along with you. I'm playing.
Most people are.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying, like I said, you got to surround yourself with some people that are smarter than you. Because if you're the smartest person in your group,
yes.
you need a new group.
Yep. Hey, E, I tell myself that every single day, son. Every single day I say that to myself, man. In fact, hey, listen, man, that's all the time that we have for our segment, man. What we're going to do here is we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to turn it over to Mr. E. Scott for Mr. Eric Scott's entertainment segment. Stay on your toes, ladies and gentlemen. It's about to get real.
Trouble on my mind. Refuse to lose. What up, guys? So what we got for you tonight, we're going to take you to the movies tonight. What we're going to do, I got 23 of them on the board. You're going to give me a number. I'm going to give you a character, like who the character's name in the movie. For 1 point, you tell me who the actor was that played this character. If you get that one, you can also earn a bonus point for telling me the name of the movie. Now, the only person that can get the bonus point is the person who also gets the correct answer. The bonus is not just up for grabs. But as always, if someone doesn't know or misses it, the whole thing is up for grabs. So, K-Walk, we're going to – you can show – actually, no, we're going to start with Show. The Show, the new champ. Show beat you last time.
Man.
You had a week of about 10 in a row. And Show came to do it.
That's still the proof.
So we're going to start with Show. Show, give me a number, 1 through 23.
Excuse me, let me get number 1.
Number 1, out the gate.
Cheating already.
Billy Ray Valentine.
Oh, man,
so
I got this one.
You tell me who played Billy Ray Valentine. If you can get that, you can also earn a bonus telling me the name of the movie.
Oh, man.
You don't know it, bro. Don't even Google it.
I don't. I don't use Google.
I already
Alexa,
know it.
Man. Me and Jay use Alexa, bro. We use Alexa. Dang, nah, I don't know. I'm drawing a blank. I do know, but I'm drawing a blank. Go ahead.
Special K, you said, no, K-Walk, you said you know?
Yes, sir. You want, I'm sorry.
I know, too, now.
Yeah, the actor is Eddie
Murphy.
Oh,
you got it? Okay, okay, you
yeah.
got to
speak.
No,
I said
it first. So the first. I know that you did, but I'm saying he didn't say anything because he just said I know,
yeah.
too. No. Now, go ahead, K. Go ahead, K-Walk.
Yeah, the actor is Eddie Murphy, and the movie is Trading Places, Final Answer.
That is correct. Give yourself 1 point for Eddie Murphy, 1 point for the bonus. That is correct. Coming to you, Special K, give me a number, 1 through 23.
I'm going to start with my lucky 13 as usual.
Number 13, Big Brother Almighty.
Ooh.
Who is the actor that played Big Brother Almighty, and what is the name of the movie, if you know?
I know it.
I don't remember the actor, but I know the movie.
Got to get the actor first.
The actor passed away.
No, he's still alive.
Wait a minute. Okay, I got the wrong actor then. I definitely know the movie. Ain't Fishburne? Final answer.
Well, no, Fishburne is incorrect, and Fishburne is still alive.
Yeah.
I mean, he ain't Morpheus no more, but he's still out there. K-Walk, you said you know?
Nah, I know his face, the guy in the part is, I don't know his real name, so I don't know.
Show, do you know?
I know his character name. Not
well,
not his real name.
His character name.
No,
his brother Almighty.
His real name in the movie was Julius. It was Julius.
No, Sean's right.
That ain't
worth it. No, Laura name was Dak. Julian was what you call his name?
Well, Big Brother Almighty, that is correct, but that don't get you any points. What's his name? What's his government? What is mama name?
I don't know that.
Hey, don't we get a half a point for the movie?
They ain't no half point, dog. You got to get the name in the movie. So it's obvious y'all know the movie, but the actor's name is Giancarlo Esposito.
I never knew that.
And the movie is School Days.
School Days.
Hey, well, get you at the top.
All right, give me number. The show want to cheat, man. So give me number, number 21.
Hold up, I'm at the top. I went first, remember?
Yeah, but K-Walk didn't go yet.
But
you
I didn't go.
First,
I just got the answer right.
K-Walk didn't get to go yet.
See K-Walk.
No, this is the third one. He's the third president.
I did say
at the top. That was my mistake. K-Walk, you said number 21?
21, yes, sir.
Number 21 is Malik Williams.
Malik Williams.
And these are all movies, right?
Yes, these are all movies.
Okay.
Malik Williams. Why did that sound like an Omar Epps movie? I'm going to say Omar Epps and Higher Learning, final answer.
That is correct. Omar Epps. Because remember, Remy was calling him
Malik. Yeah, Malik.
And the movie is how I learned it. Mm-hmm. That is correct. Now we're back at the top. Show, give me a number. Okay, I'll give you set 2 points.
Let me get number 10.
Number 10, Old Dog. Who played Old Dog?
You don't know this show.
Oh, hold on, I got it.
Laverne Tate.
That is correct. And for the bonus, what's the name of the movie?
Boys in the Hood.
No. Let me get that.
No. Man. Come on, man.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Well, only the person who answered can get the bonus, which is a real shame is right. So he only gets 1 point. No, the movie show was Menace to Society, not Boys in the Hood.
Yeah.
But you do get 1 point. Yeah, the bonus not up for grabs. Special K, we at you. Number, give me a number.
Let me get 7.
Okay. Oh, I forgot to tell y'all, some of these are super easy, as y'all have seen, and then some of them a little more difficult. Number 7, Special K, Henry Hill. Who played Henry Hill?
Who?
Oh, man. Did I get a lifeline or something?
I mean, your girl probably in the kitchen in there cooking or something. You can yell in there and ask her. I mean, she'd have helped you before.
Henry Hill.
That's one of my favorite movies. I know who it is.
I don't know.
Okay. So that you said you know?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite movies. That's Ray Liotta in Goodfellas.
That is correct. Give show 2 points. One for Ray Liotta, one for Goodfellas. K-Walk, give me a number. 1 through 23.
Give me number 20.
Number 20. Nina Mosley.
Ooh. Nina Mosley.
I
don't have Google in front of me, man. Nina Mosley.
Wow.
I'm going there, show. I'm going there because I feel cheated, man.
K-Walk, the staff wrote this one for you because they know you like movies and TV.
No, Nina Mosley. That's what I'm trying to. Oh my goodness, bro.
I don't know.
I know the answer. Go ahead. I don't know. Final answer.
I got it.
Who was in first? Special K. Which one of y'all buzzed in first?
Me. I buzzed
okay,
in.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Hey, K-Walk, that's Nia Long, baby.
I know. It's not a movie shit.
How you don't know Leah?
That's correct. What's the name of the movie?
Don't tell me it's the best man.
Love Jones.
That is correct. That is correct. Get show 2 more points. Show's trying to run away with this thing.
No, he only up by one.
Okay. Well, we're on show right now. Show, give me a number.
You 12.
Number 12. Ricky Bobby.
Oh, man. I know this.
Damn it.
No, you either know it or you don't. I'm tired of
You tired.
Come on now, bro. You know this.
The staff is loving it. Look at the staff over there. I'm looking at them now.
Man, I'm foaming right now.
It's a white comedian. I don't know his name. Go ahead. I know the movie.
Well, we can't
but
get credit ahead. For
go
white
ahead.
Comedian.
No, I know. Go ahead, Walt,
because
you
rushing,
brother. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I ain't rushing. I'm just saying. It's Will Ferrell, Talladega Nights. Final answer.
That is correct. Will Ferrell is correct. Talladega Nights is correct. Special K, when you know him, dog, you got to immediately say, I know it. Because you let cause you know
yeah,
it, stuff, but you let him get in front of you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me see. Who's with that? That was
Shell. Special K's up.
Okay. Special K, we back to you. Go ahead. Give me a number.
Let's go to the mountaintop. Give me 23.
Number 23, Iceman.
I know this one.
Iceman.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know the truth.
Iceman. Man, you know I'm in an Iceman lounge. We talking Marvel. We talking.
What? Give me, since there's a bunch of them, give me one. And we'll see if that was correct.
Hell. Iceman. Man, this is disturbing, man. Why I know everything but mine? Yeah, I don't know, man. Keys to charcoal, find an answer.
I have no idea. I don't even know what that means. Who was it first? Sure, K-Walk.
Me. K-Walk,
dude.
Go ahead, K-Walk.
Yeah, that's Val Kilmer in Top Gun. Final answer.
That is correct. Give yourself 2 points. That's Top Gun, okay? Highway to the danger zone.
That was my singing. I'm cool. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. Man.
Yeah, let's see. K-Walk, we owe you.
Give me number four.
Number four, Michael Corleone.
Okay. Oh, wow, that could be anyone. Give me, God, dog. Oh my God, Kevin Walker. It's Godfather 1, 2. Al Pacino.
Well, you need the name of the actor.
Al Pacino. Final answer. I'm sorry, slipped my mind.
Okay, give yourself the points, because what we wrote down was Al Pacino, which is correct, and then we said any Godfather. So if you would have said 1, 2, or 3, you get them. So you good there. Give yourself 2 points. Show back to the top. Give me a number.
Seven.
Number seven is gone.
That's taken. Yeah.
Seven is gone. Nine.
Number nine, Bishop.
Oh, I know it.
I know.
Oh, that's Tupac.
Say it again.
Tupac.
That is correct. What's the name of the movie?
Oh, man.
Dang.
Only you can get
it?
The bonus. They can't.
I know.
Can't get
that's,
the
why
bonus.
I said that. That's why I said
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Nah, I forgot. But I know that's Tupac.
Okay, well, give him 1 point, K-Walk. The name of the movie, K-Walk, tell him what the name of the movie is.
Juice.
That is correct for 0 points. okay.
Thanks, bro.
My man. Let's take it. Give me a number.
Let me get 15.
Number 15. Let me see. What are we rating this? Oh, this one is from the super easy category. So you should get this one, okay? Nino Brown.
Oh, Lord. I know it.
Wesley Snipes, New Jack City.
That is correct. With Kevin on the board with 2 points. Shooting the 17-footer. You could have bagged that in the street, dog. You are here being Carmelo Anthony, getting the ticket. K-Walk, give me a number.
Give me number two. Hold on. Hey, Special K, hey, when you're off, shoot. I mean, when you're on, shoot. When you're off, shoot till you're on. That's the motto of real shoot.
All right, tempo.
Give me number two,
Number two. Colonel Nathan R. Jessup.
Colonel Nathan R. Jessup. Oh, my God. I love this movie, too. Oh, my God. Colonel Nathan R. Jessup. I don't know. I'm not going to leave it on the board. Hold on. I'm just going to just guess.
Guess the name of the actor, because if you get the name of the movie, the next person can get 2 points from you.
True fact. So with that being said, I'm going to say I don't know. Final answer.
I know. Kevin K. Walker.
Show, go ahead.
It's Jack Nicholson.
That is correct. And the name of the movie?
I know the movie.
No, I don't know the movie. I just know that's Jack.
See, K. Walker, you almost gave him the name of the movie.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said
A Few Good Men. A Few Good Men.
Too late.
Final answer.
That is
what
correct.
Do you mean too late?
Well, I didn't say too late. I mean,
all right, okay, yeah.
You want me on that wall?
Show, this
you
is like a,
me on that wall.
You right? Show, this is like us slap boxing back in the day, man. You cheat back
then. Right,
too,
it
man.
Is. It definitely is.
Get show the 2 points. Let's see. Show, we back to you. What we got? We got 3, 5, 6, 8, 11, 14, 16, 17, 18, 19, 22.
Give me Deuce Deuce.
Number 22 is from the super easy category. Number 22, Big Worm.
Oh, Lord, I know it.
Oh, Faison Love and
that is correct.
Friday.
That is correct. He was only in the original Friday. That is correct. Got you. Give him the 2 points. Special K, give me a number.
What's left?
Let's see. We got 3. We got 5, 6, 8, 11, 14, 16, 17, 18, 19. 11. Number 11, Furious Styles the Third.
I know this.
Oh, Cuba Gooding Jr.
That is correct.
Boys in the Hood.
That is correct.
Final
right. Series five and third. That is correct. Mm-hmm. UK 2 points.
Yes, sir.
K-Walk.
Give me number, what am I looking at here? Give me number 5. I'm going to still show number. Number 5.
Number 5. Also from the super easy category, Craig Jones.
No, give me, it's Ice Cube and Friday. Final answer.
That is correct. We had down Ice Cube and any other Fridays. You ain't got a lie, Craig. Let's see. Show, we got 3, 6, 8, 14, 16, 17, 18, 19.
All right, I got my mute off. I got to catch up.
What number did you say, Sean?
Three.
Oh.
Number 3, Frank Lucas.
Oh, I know this.
Oh, that's Denzel Washington.
That is correct. What's the name of the movie?
Oh,
man.
I just had it on my...
Man,
I
just
had
it on your Google.
And I'll tell
you just had it on your Google?
You should get half points, man.
For what?
I'm the champ. What was the movie?
Go ahead.
Oh, you don't know?
I don't know.
The movie is
American
Gangster.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see. Special K, give me a number. We got 6, 8.
Let me hit 6.
14, 16. Oh, number 6. Number 6, Dollar Bill.
Ooh.
I ain't scared of you, Dollar Bill. That would be one. Bernie Mac.
Players Club.
1998.
Yeah.
I don't know about the year, but the rest of that is all correct. Bernie Mac. It is Players Club. Give him 2 points. Give him the Duke.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
K-Walk.
Give me number, let me see. Look at that here. Give me number 14.
Number 14, super easy, Miss Seeley.
Ooh, that'll be Miss Whoopi Goldberg in The Color Purple. Final answer.
That is correct. Give yourself the 2 points. Show, give me a number.
19.
19 is available. Quincy McCall.
Oh, I know this one, I think.
Quincy McCall, that's Omar Epps.
That is correct. And what is the movie?
Love and Basketball.
That is correct. Oh. Give yourself the 2 points. Special K.
I don't know. Did you reboot your router? I don't know.
Special K, we got number 8. We got 16, 17, and 18.
I'm having good down here with these low numbers. Let me get number 8.
Number 8, Reggie Hammond.
Oh, I know this.
I know that.
Reggie Hammond.
Come on. I need you, bro.
Well, Reggie Hammond. I know this.
I've been on the bus that flipped over 57 times.
Reggie Hammond. I ain't gonna kill the time, man. I'm gonna say I don't know. I know, but I don't know.
KY Murphy buzzed in first.
Yeah.
What is it, KY?
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy, 48 hours or another 48 hours.
That is correct. Give yourself the 2 points. Rossy, you don't have to sell your body tonight. We ain't brothers, we ain't partners, we ain't friends. If we don't catch hands, you're going to be sorry you ever met me. I'm already sorry.
Sorry.
K-Walk, 16, 17, 18.
Give me number 9. I mean, number 16. Excuse me, 16.
16 from the difficult category. Ooh. Kyle Lee Watson.
Kyle Lee Watson with a K?
Mm-hmm.
I know that one.
All right.
Special K? No, okay.
Kyle Lee Watson. Okay, I'm not going to hold up the time like Special K said. So I'm Kyle Lee Watson. I don't know.
Special K, who you got?
I'm sure jump out there. Samuel L. Jackson.
You start right there. That's hella wrong.
I'm wrong.
you think about Kylie Haley from
Well, I'm close.
Time to kill.
No, you're not at all. Show, do you know? Kylie Watson. Kylie Watson was played by Dwayne Martin in Above the Rim. Y'all remember Above the Rim?
Yeah, with Tupac, yeah.
Let's see. Got two left. Show, 17 or 18, which one you want?
18.
Number 18, Lance Sullivan.
Ooh. Don't know.
Wow.
Special K, K-Walk, either one of y'all know?
I know.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I can't call his name, the dark-skinned dude.
Lance Sullivan, I don't know that.
I don't think dark-skinned dude is acceptable.
I can't call his name. The same dude from Ricky. God, I can't call his name right now. I know who it is. I know who you're talking about.
K-Walk, do you know?
Nah, I don't know, bro.
Okay, Special K should get y'all the answer. It's Morris Chestnut, and he's right.
Yeah.
From Boys in the Hood. Ricky!
Let's okay.
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct for no points. That is correct. So the very last one.
What's the point, Chip?
All right.
Well,
It's 16-13. All right. So you can't win, Shaw. Just to let you know that even if I didn't get this one right, and you did get both right. But nonetheless, let me put it away.
Whack.
Give me those clues.
And the last one is super easy, which you're going to get. The last one is Marcus Barnett.
Yes, sir. I'm already giving myself the 2 points here. We got Mr. Martin Lawrence and Bad Boys 1-2 and Bad Boys for Life. Final answer.
Any of the Bad Boys. That is correct. So give me a tally on the total.
Yeah, so it's 18 for myself, 13 for show, and Special K is 6.
I think that might
answer.
Go ahead, Special K. Cue the music.
Medals round my neck because I won. Now my mama said, cause I won. Out here making bad, do what I want. Get with the bomb.
controversy. The staff likes when they can cause controversy. Special K, we real disappointed in you because I can hear you knew a lot of them. You just didn't buzz in in time. And then when we got to the ones that was your turn, you had no idea. So it's not a lack of knowledge the reason you lost. It was poor gameplay. So, you know, need to, you and your man Antonio Brown need to get y'all stuff together. K-Walk, I see we in overtime. Go ahead and wrap it up and take us on home.
Yes, sir. Good stuff. Good stuff as always. And show, just like in slap boxing back in the day, man, I always bounce back. Bro, I always got bounced out. But, no, good stuff. I want to thank Sherrod Jones and Mr. Special K for joining us this evening. Welcome back, Mr. E. Scott. We missed you last week. So with that being said, Happy New Year again to everyone. And for E. Scott, I am K. Walk on right here on Sports Talk with K. Walk with E. Scott. Never had so good sports radio. Want to leave you with this today, and that is make your life matter and have fun doing it. So God willing, we'll talk next week.
Necklace. She's serious, Louboutin princess.